Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
And now, a few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
Senator Blumenthal, I very much appreciate you coming on. I know it's a holiday week and popping on. I know this isn't your typical time, but thanks for taking the time to come on WICC. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Always good to be with you, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
So, Senator Blumenthal, the reason I really wanted to tackle this, for obvious reasons, I know many other news outlets have reached out to you. You attended an awards dinner earlier this month. It was hosted by the Connecticut People's World Committee, which is a group associated with the Connecticut Communist Party. So, of course, your appearance there has gotten a lot of pushback, and we wanted to give you the opportunity to address your constituents on the air to talk about why were you even there?
I was invited to attend by a number of unions to honor three very impressive individuals, State Senator Julie Kushner, who championed paid medical and family leave in the legislature, a minister from Waterbury, Pastor Wade, who has led the effort against COVID around the state, and a labor activist from SEIU, the union that has helped to organize McDonald's. My reason for being there was very simply that I was invited by these labor unions to honor these three very important and extraordinary individuals who have contributed so much to our state. If I had known all the details, I wouldn't have been there.
So you did not know prior to going that it was being run by a communist party?
Melissa, I've said repeatedly, if I'd known the details, I wouldn't have been there. And I will just say, people are going to say whatever they say for political reasons. I'm going to continue doing my job, fighting for the people of Connecticut, working against COVID, trying to restore our economy and making sure that American capitalism works, because I am a Democrat and a strong believer in American capitalism.
I'm curious, Senator Blumenthal, the people you presented the awards to, did they know that it was being run by a communist party? Did they know?
You'd have to ask them, Melissa. They never told me.
Only because that puts you in a very uncomfortable position. I mean, look at what you're now paying for if you had no idea.
The people of Connecticut know that I am a Democrat and a strong supporter of American capitalism. It has been my mantra, my core being throughout my political life and my personal life. And I'm going to continue working for the people of Connecticut and doing my job, because there's a lot at stake right now in the Senate. I can't be distracted. Voting rights, the ongoing pandemic, making child care affordable, cutting prescription drug prices. That's where my focus is. And so I am going to continue doing my job and trusting that the people of Connecticut know that I'm a Democrat. We can differ, Republicans and Democrats, but we ought to be focusing now on providing more jobs for people, making sure that we combat this latest Omicron variant, do more testing, and providing the kind of prescription drug prices reductions that people deserve. That's where my priority is going to be.
We're talking to Senator Richard Blumenthal this morning, and what sort of prompted this conversation was before it even became big news. Some of you had found an article that was written by Yankee Institute, and it was highlighting Senator Blumenthal being at this awards ceremony. And I wanted to address it on the air because, first of all, I don't like referring to third parties, Senator Blumenthal. It's one of the things I pride myself as a journalist. If I don't hear it from you, I'm not going to really talk about it in length, because you're the person I'd rather talk to because you were there. I was reading, though, that that when you, I guess, got up and you did your speech again for these three awardees, which you have made very clear why you were there. I think that is admirable. It does sound like after you got down, though, that one of the leaders of this group got up and really said, you know, and the reason we're here is because we support communism and we want it alive and well and we want it strong. Was there ever a point when you were there where you went, ooh, this isn't good. I probably shouldn't be here. Like, was there ever a point where you thought this is going to be bad?
Melissa, let me just say, you know, I think folks know in Connecticut, I'm invited to a lot of places and I go to a lot of places. In fact, I'm invited to almost everywhere in Connecticut where something major is going on, and I'm happy to accept those invitations. I go to a lot of events, places, meetings, rallies, ceremonies. I'm delighted to be invited. In this instance, I was invited by local labor unions to honor these three individuals. I made very, very clear, as you just remarked, why I was there. I can't be responsible for what other people say at this event or, frankly, at any other event. I've been to events where people have made remarks that I strongly disagree with, but I can't control that. And I, as a matter of fact, said at this event, you don't have to agree with this group. You don't have to agree with labor unions to know that we should be honoring these individuals, and that's why I'm here. I made very clear why I was there. And I said, I think explicitly, you don't have to agree with anyone or everyone, with any party or any particular union or organization. I'm here to honor the three individuals who have really earned this recognition, and I presented them with certificates of recognition. So if I'd known all the details, I wouldn't have been there.
Okay. So if you, yeah, so that's what I wanted to end with. So if you had known, you would not have gone. You would have told your friends, I apologize, but I can't be represented there.
I think I've said a few times, if I had known the details and if I'd been told all those details, I wouldn't have been there.
Senator Blumenthal, we appreciate you taking the time to come on here. I know that many other news outlets have reached out to you. I know you spoke to Hartford Current, but we appreciate that you gave us the time here on WICC. It means a lot to me and it means a lot to our listeners. So thank you for taking the time.
Well, thank you. And I just want to just repeat as emphatically as I can, you know, I'm a Democrat. I'm a strong believer in American capitalism. That's why I have worked for the American Rescue Plan, for the child care programs that are so important to the people of Connecticut, for better transportation, for the rail, roads, bridges, all the infrastructure that's necessary for our capitalist system to prosper. That's why I have supported our national defense. I'm a member of the Armed Services Committee. Nobody's been a stronger advocate for American security than I have been on that committee. I've worked for the submarine program that we have in Connecticut, as well as Sikorsky's helicopters and the F-35s. Our national defense is a priority for me. And likewise, on the Commerce Committee, I've tried to make possible better consumer protection for people because I believe in American capitalism, that it can protect consumers and indeed provide better products through our patent system. So I think that people should understand that I am a supporter of American capitalism. I'm a Democrat, and that's what I'll continue to be.
Senator Blumenthal, we appreciate you taking the time this morning, and we'll talk to you again next week or after the new year?
Next week I'm available if you like.
Absolutely. All right, so we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Senator Blumenthal. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Let's get wild. It's the Zoo Minute with Greg Dancho from Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo on Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
Greg Dancho is here just before we get to Christmas. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Morning. Good morning, Melissa. It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
It is. It's chilly today. We got some snow in the forecast. It's exciting.
It's pretty amazing.
Have you gotten all the gifts for the grandkids yet? Are you set?
Oh, yeah. All done. Yeah, yeah. Done.
Nice
job. And, yeah, it's, well, actually, my wife did it, but that's okay.
the truth comes out. Hey, listen, it's all good. It's all good, my friend. It's all good. That's awesome. Very exciting.
It's pretty amazing that 4 years ago we were celebrating our first Christmas with our Tiger Cubs now. And now those Cubs have grown up and they're moved out to other facilities. So
that's
this
crazy.
Year is our first Christmas for our anteater, baby anteater, female baby anteater. So again, it's pretty amazing how the time flies and how much fun we have here at the zoo.
It's so true. And you know, I think although no one at the zoo is up for adoption, I do think what's great about having you on, Greg, is that you are about animal care in general and just the goodness mm-hmm. of animals. You know, you and I talk a lot about how, sure, when we see animals move on to other facilities, it's sad because you've grown a connection to them. But, you know, at the core of it, you want what's best for that animal, that the species and everything. And
exactly.
And this morning, maybe we're not adopting out tigers or anteaters, but I do think your message of making sure people know what they're doing if they're adopting pets for the holidays, I think, is a very important message.
Yeah, Melissa, that is very true. It's especially these times of year when people are looking to give gifts to their loved ones, and they look and say, okay, what can I get for a special gift, or, you know, it's last minute and, you know, it's kind of that impulsive buy. Maybe they'd love a new, you know, exotic little pet that we can buy them, or maybe we can get them a puppy or a kitten, which is again, wonderful things. But our message here from the zoo has always been, make sure that you study up on this before you go into any kind of purchase like this. Make sure you understand the animal that you're going to have. You should want to have this animal for its lifetime. You know, mm-hmm. that's what you should have that commitment before you make that decision, because it's only fair to you, the animal, and your family that you make that decision. So it's always important to study up on this. Now, when I was growing up, and I think I mentioned this on the show before, when I was growing up, I loved reptiles. So
yes.
I'd have reptiles all the time. And I didn't really go out and buy reptiles. I'd get them, collect reptiles, and then release them back to the wild after having them for a while. But if you didn't learn about these animals beforehand to know what you're getting yourselves into, we get all the time, we get calls, and not as many. I'll grant you this, not as many. I think people are becoming a little more educated, which is great, before they buy a parrot, let's say, a beautiful parrot. We have Zari here at the zoo that was actually either was released or got loose, and we found her in Beardsley Park years ago, an African great parrot, beautiful bird. But people understand when you buy that animal, it's the needs of that critter that you're going to have to undertake.
Mm-hmm.
The care, the feeding, the psychological needs, all those things are come in play. And we know that very well here at the zoo because that's what we do on a daily basis. So we're stressing, before you make that purchase, study up on it. Make sure that you are comfortable, that you're going to be able to give that animal all the care and needs that it possibly can have.
Mm-hmm. What would you say, Greg, are one of the more or some of the more popular exotic animals that get adopted? I know, like, for us, it was funny when my mom, you know, started her mini farm years back, you know, like pigs or goats, like they're considered exotic. So I just wanted to let people yep. know what you mean by exotic animals.
Well, when I mean exotic animals, I mean what used to be, we'd see a lot of caiman, which are the South American crocodilian, South American alligator. We'd see a lot of those that people would call up and say, can we take them to the zoo? And let me understand, we can't take these animals. We only have space really for the animals that we have. Very, very rarely we bring in animals from that people are unwanted pets. So we used to see caiman. We used to see boa constrictors. We used to see a lot of iguanas, which take a lot of care.
Yes.
You know, you get sometimes you see them as little baby dragons. They sell them, and it's, you know, they get very large. They could be 6 feet long. If you do the right care for them, they could be 6 feet long. But if you don't feed them correctly, they don't live very long either. So it's we saw those chinchillas. Pot-bellied pigs were a big item years ago. Prairie dogs were
really
yeah. Now you would think prairie dogs. Why would you want a prairie dog?
Where would you put a prairie dog? I just don't understand. Yeah.
It went pretty viral for a while for prairie dogs, and then people realized these did not make good pets at all, and actually carried, and again as we know now, they carried a zoonotic problem. That could be transferred to humans. So
wow.
That was a pretty short-lived thing.
Well,
but
good.
Those parrots and things of that nature, all, again, those we call exotic parrots, and that really take a tremendous amount of care. I'm not going to say if you're not willing to take care of them that way, then fine, but really educate yourself on what you're getting yourself into.
No question. We're talking to Greg Dancho this morning. And, Greg, you guys have a new mayor of the town over there at the zoo.
What does
Mayor Harry want to say to all of his fellow constituents?
You may know that we've had in the past, we've had the fireplace talks, the fireplace addresses, from our presidents of the United States. But today, I think Harry is looking to do a hay bale address.
Love that.
So his hay bale address today, and we'll do this really quickly, because he's a little verbose, little oinker. He talks quite a bit. To my fellow zoo citizens and all great creatures who like to wallow in mud, climb trees, swing in vines, swim in the water, and fly in the sky, and whatever it is that makes you happy, is the joy of the season of light that the Connecticut Spirit Zoo Mayoral Office wishes you a safe and happy holiday. This is the season for giving and for loving and for savoring delicious food at our collective trough. I know that this year has been difficult, and if you're unable to lay caked in mud or buried in straw with your friends, please don't be disgruntled. I would remind you that this is a season of hope. In that spirit, I urge all of you to remember that the good things come in small packages. And here I speak of the miniature horses, the tiniest spotted turtles, the golden lion tamarins, and Geldy's monkeys, but also large, cumbersome packages, like my one-time mayoral opponent, Clara the Bison. We should neither look a gift horse in the mouth or go on a wild goose chase searching for happiness when it's found right here with the zoo. So please join me in raising a snout to the new year when twinkling lights shine in the sky and treats spill into our habitats like rain from our zoo care providers. Remember, I abhor you all. Hogs and kisses, Mayor Harry.
First of all, he's very punny, and also he's very punny. Well-spoken mayor. Yeah. Very impressed with him.
He's not bad. I liked it. It was short, it was sweet, and he did it. And then again, we want people to also know that the zoo will be closed tomorrow at noon on New Year's Eve, and will be closed all day on Christmas Day. But we will be open back on Sunday morning. So if you get a chance and you've got family in, coming down to visit the zoo.
And I think there's going to be a light snow on Sunday morning. We'll find out from Bill. But it's perfect. If you walk around in the zoo with a light snow, to me, I just think there's nothing
that's
more magical.
I really think it's
beautiful. Well, Greg, you and your family have a very Merry Christmas, and I will talk to you really soon.
And to you and yours, too.
Thank you.
Very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Hey, good morning, everyone. It is 6:39 this Thursday morning, and I'm excited to have on the show with me this morning, he's a dear friend of mine, Rob Ray, who works here at Connoisseur Media, but he's more than that. He also should be becoming one of your good friends on Saturday afternoons. He is known as the music professor, and he has now joined our lineup. We got rid of basically all the syndicated shows on Saturdays, and we have made it all music all day long, and it's fabulous, quite frankly. But I wanted to let you guys meet some of the guys behind the microphone, and one of them is Rob Ray, who's here this morning. Good morning, Rob.
Well, good morning, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me on.
I mean, it works out very nicely, Rob, because you are just like a man with many hats in this building, I swear.
Yes.
I find you in so many different studios, and I think, wait, you're now working with which station, at what time, and what are you doing now? I mean, it's amazing. You're just very busy.
Yes, I am. Versatility is important in radio these days.
Yeah, it really is. So if people can't catch on, Rob, you have a very great radio voice. You sound like a radio man. You sound like a music professor.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So what got you into radio?
I wanted to work in radio from the time I was 5 years old.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why? What even introduced you at 5 years old to radio?
I used to listen to my transistor radio, the Hartford station, because I grew up in Bloomfield. And I just said, I think that's the coolest job in the world, talking to people, and you get to play music. Who wouldn't enjoy that?
Yeah, it's a pretty nice combination. It is very fun. So 5 years old, you go, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So what is your journey like? When did you start in radio?
Started in 1980 when I was 16 years of age.
Wow.
My first job was mailing out dial-a-hits, because in those days you still had records, so people would call, and once an hour you could win a song. So I would be set up in the conference room. They would give me cardboard. They'd give me one of those water tubes to seal the envelopes. And I would package 45s and send them to people.
Oh, my gosh.
And I wasn't paid with cash. They didn't pay me. They gave me 2 to 3 albums a week. So I would tell
them. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I would have spent my money on anyway. So
right.
I'd tell the music director, I want this album, that album, the other album. I'd come in the next week, and there they are.
At 16, you were in high school. What else would you want to have money for? That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I was in heaven.
That's amazing.
So after they changed a few things and they gave up giving away dial-a-hits, my brother, who was 4 years older than I am, was working there. So he called me and he said, how would you like to learn production? And I said, what's that? Oh, you get to make commercials. Yeah, okay, I'll do that.
Right.
So there you go.
That is so cool. So you've been in this industry for quite some time. What is one of the standout moments? I mean, I'm sure there's millions. I always hate when people say, what's the one news story that stands out? And I'm like, come on. But what's a radio memory that just to you is like, whoa, either you met someone or you did something or you got a call that just stands out to you? Like, what's something that stood out to you in your career?
Well, I have to say that because of my versatility, I haven't always had a regular air shift.
Mm-hmm.
They've put me on Saturdays, I was on Sundays, then I was a fill-in guy. And finally, a few years ago, I got my own shift. I was on nights. And I hit number one.
Really?
So that told me and told every detractor, because in this business, in any business, you're going to find detractors.
Right.
People are going to say, you're not very good, you have no future, blah, blah, blah. I was a top-rated DJ in the 52nd biggest market in the country, so there.
I love it. Wow, and that was still at the same station?
Yes.
Wow. Rob, that's incredible. So how did you cross paths with the guys here, like with Keith Dakin and all the connoisseur people?
Well, we were owned by Buckley Broadcasting for a long time, mm-hmm. and the owner of the company passed away.
Oh, okay.
So the family didn't want to stay in radio, so they put us up for sale, and Connoisseur Media purchased the station I worked at.
Gotcha.
So I worked with Keith and a lot of the people here for 4 or 5 years. And then they decided to sell. Another company came in. So 3 years later, I received a call from Keith. He said, would you like to come here? And here I am.
I love it. I love it. And Rob is just one of those, if you can't tell by his energy, is just one of the most positive people. I feel like when you're having a bad day, I would never know. I would never know, Rob, because there was one of the days that I was in the studio and I was recording a client and Rob comes in and I am like 95% of the time I'm always very nice and happy and go lucky, but that 5% when I am stressed, I am not the prettiest. We're going to just leave it that way. And Rob comes in and is just like, oh, it's fine, take your time. And then I look at him and you had a stack of stuff you had to do for another show. And I'm like, oh, so how much time are you going to need? And oh, probably a couple of hours, but you take your time. And I'm thinking, okay, why am I stressing over a 5-minute interview? This guy's got 3 hours of work. And he's like, you just take your time.
Mm-hmm.
How in this industry are you able to stay so even keeled? Even now, like you're here for a 5 a.m. shift, which is just you're all over the place.
Yeah, well, what else would I rather be doing?
Mm.
This is what I wanted to do when I was a kid. And I'm sorry, you're talking to people, you're playing music, you're having fun. Who wouldn't want to do this?
There you go.
There are far worse situations and far worse jobs in the world. So it's radio.
Yeah.
Don't let it get to you.
There you go.
Because it's cyclical. Oh, you could have a bad moment, but pretty soon it's going to clear up and then things will be fine.
So true. It is one of the things where you really don't have to bring this work home with you. That is a very
yes.
nice thing as well.
Yes.
You never really have to bring it home with you. It's very true. So, Rob, your shift is when now for WA? First of all, welcome to WICC.
Thank you very
welcome
much.
Welcome to the family.
A 95-year-old radio station. Mm-hmm. I am very grateful and thankful to be on.
Yeah. No, ICC, she's looking pretty good at 95, I tell you.
Yeah.
So when is your shift on Saturdays?
I am on Saturdays from 1 to 4 right after Al Warren.
Okay.
Now, they call me the music professor.
Yeah,
because,
why? I was going to ask that.
Because I know a lot about music. So when I was younger, when kids were going out drinking and doing other things, I was pretty much studying album covers and books. So I know a lot about music, and I have found over the years that if there's a favorite song, especially an oldie, say something from 1965, you've been listening to it for years, if you know something about that song that maybe the average listener doesn't know, that's going to, I think, make it more enjoyable when you hear a song.
Okay. Thank you for saying that, because the person who's coming on after you is Chris Williams, and Chris does a segment called, I always mess it up. What is it called? Chris Williams' Useless Musical Trivia. And I always say to him, I go, I love that you call it that, but I also don't feel like it's useless because I feel like I'm learning something. I love learning.
Yeah.
And it makes me love or not love that artist, depending on what you told me.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me look at them as like a person and not mm-hmm. just someone who just wrote a song or somebody who, oh, yeah, no, yeah, I know about them. But you don't really know.
Right.
It's very neat.
Mm-hmm.
you know, so I know you love radio. So obviously studying, you know, music and everything is it seems like a passion for you. It's not just you love to work in it, but to take the time to learn about artists and their music. You love that, too.
No, it is a passion because my hobby for many years was collecting records.
Yeah.
Albums, 45s.
So cool.
And in the 80s, when everyone was listening to the current sounds like Eurythmics and bands like that, I was going back and searching for 60s and 70s albums.
Wow.
Usually the rare, obscure ones.
I love that. I love it. Well, Rob, again, welcome to WICC, the music professor. We have him here every Saturday starting at 1 o'clock. This week we do have Christmas Day, obviously, so all the jocks are off. But you can catch Rob starting again next week on Saturday. And thank you so much for popping on this morning.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
So good to have you here, Rob. If you haven't noticed, WICC is now basically all music every weekend. WICC dropped all weekend syndicated talk shows in favor of local disc jockeys, including, of course, Big Al Warren, which you all know, the music professor Rob Ray, who you just heard from, and now in the evenings, in the late afternoons into evenings, Chris Williams. And Chris is actually here right now, his first on-air gig, really, standing on-air gig, and it's here on WICC. Good morning, Chris. So glad that you could chat with us this morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm so glad. So, first of all, congrats.
Thank you.
Love hearing you. I think you are just a bright light in the music line. Up. So I'm so glad that Connoisseur went with you. I think they made a very good decision.
Thank you.
So tell us, you, very similarly to Rob, you were very young when you fell in love with radio, correct?
I was. I was seven. And you just know that that's what you'd like to do with your life. And that's what I did. I used to take a cassette recorder, put a tape in it, go in the living room, take a 45 record, cue it up, and I would have my own fake radio show, just pretending I was on the air. Because that's what I just knew I wanted to do that. Grew up listening to ICC. And then a friend of mine was a graduate of WNHU in New Haven. And they allow their alums to have programs. So he had me come down to the station with him and put me on the air at 7 years old. And that's kind of what fueled it.
That's so cool. I love that. And you did some radio work in your college years, didn't you?
Yes, all 4 years. I was in the news department at college giving newscasts every Monday and as needed, because later in my college career, I was elevated to assistant news director at the station.
Wow.
In fact, I went to Boston for election night coverage, and somewhere on social media, maybe regrettably, there's a photo of me in the field writing something on behalf of the radio station. And I also had an oldies show, and I had a specialty show on Sunday mornings all 4 years.
That's very cool. So with your show on Saturdays, you've only been on for a few weeks now, but it's already become very popular among the listeners. It's your useless information, which I always mess it up. I botch that, and I'm so sorry about that. But, I find it to be very interesting. You know, it's one thing to love being in radio. It's another to really love the music you play. And what's interesting is that I don't know if this embarrasses you at all, Chris, but you're around my age. You're young, you know, compared to an Al Warren or even a Rob Ray. And I think it's very impressive that you were almost born in the wrong decade, because the music you listen to and that you love and you know most about, you can't find other than usually right here on WICC.
So many people have said that to me. They said, you love antique cars, you love old movies, you love all the old music. It's, yes, I feel like sometimes I was born in the wrong decade.
You're an old soul, that's okay.
But that's arguably some of the best music.
I agree, totally.
You know, not to turn this around and put this on you, but your knowledge of music that was released a number of years ago is impressive. So it's nice to have someone who's my age that I can talk about these things with. But
quite frankly, other than, yes, there are artists who are good singers, but I can't listen to the radio, quite frankly. I mean, I enjoy the Saturday shows. I love that we've now gone all music, because to me, look, if it were up to me, I know you go back a little bit further, but if it were up to me, I'd go back to the 70s and 80s. That was more my era of music, even though I was born in the 90s. I mean, that's just, I love that. But you go back even further than that, which is super impressive.
Well, something that people like about WICC is that we are steeped in tradition. And the Saturday music program takes us back to those nights of the 60s when you would come out of the movie theater at 10 o'clock at night with your date and you'd turn on the radio in the 56 Chevy and you'd hear, you know, Al Jarvis or Alan Freed or all those old time guys that, you know, did the what they called ballroom radio, where they would they would just be in a studio, but they would announce as if they were in a ballroom filled with dancers and say, oh, the band's taking a break. You know, we're going to come right back. And in reality, they were just in the studio. So
that's so cool.
To me, that's what this feels like. It feels like we're going back to the old glory days of radio. I know that's an overused expression, but I think that it's good for the station and it's allowing me. Thank you, Alan, by the way, the chance to live out my dream of being on air.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very cool, and you do such a good job with it. Tell us, Chris, before we run out of time, who's your favorite artist and why?
Of all time?
Yeah.
My favorite musical artist is Dean Martin.
Why? I mean, I'm not upset with that choice.
Dean Martin had an unimitatable voice. I try to imitate him when I sing, and it can't be done. He was very good at, in music, what we would call a triplet. If you're playing something, it's a sequence of three notes in the period of 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very good at doing that. He was always impeccably dressed. On all of his TV appearances, always had a tuxedo. He always had his hair combed a certain way. And he just had that sense of ease about him. In fact, as you know, his nickname was the King of Cool, which was given to him by Elvis Presley.
Which, I mean, you can't get
better. So he said to Dean's daughter, Deanna, he said, I'm the king of rock and roll, but your dad is the king of cool.
That's
and,
so cool.
And it makes me feel good to do something I love. It makes me feel cool.
Mm.
And Dean Martin was also very versatile. He hosted TV shows. He was an actor. He was a singer. Recorded 68 plus albums in the span of something like 15 years. And when you hear him, it's hard just not to like him.
Mm-hmm.
And you found that out through me.
No question. No, absolutely. And if anybody didn't catch on, Christian also is very musically talented. You sing, you play a bunch of instruments. I mean, what's your instrument of choice? I know you can play a bunch, but what's your instrument of choice?
My principal instrument is the piano.
Okay.
I received training and instruction on it. I learned how to read music through my work on the piano, but once you learn one instrument, it opens the door to anything else.
So what else do you play?
So I picked up other instruments as time went by, and once you know how to read music, it's easy.
It goes from there.
But I expect it to come to me fast,
right?
But it doesn't, so I had to practice, and that killed me.
Yeah.
But you get better with practice.
Yes, yes. Well, we certainly love that all your practice from 7 years old on has landed you here on WICC, a very welcomed and wonderful member of our team. And we love hearing you on Saturdays. You're on from 4 to 7, right?
4 to 7, yes.
Okay, 4 to 7. You can catch Chris Williams here on WICC on Saturdays. Again, tomorrow and on Saturday, I should say. Saturday is Christmas. I keep thinking today is Friday. Saturday is Christmas, so all of our jocks are off for the holidays. But coming back on next week, Chris Williams will be here on Saturday from 4 to 7.
We can ring in the new year together.
There you go. Ring it in together. Thanks, Chris. Always love having
you
here.
Thank you, Melissa.